Let's begin.
This is an O'Reilly Auto Parts Roadshow on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from Radio Row in Miami, this is the Boss.
I'm the Boss.
And the Gloss.
Check out my lip gloss, I only rock clear.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Welcome back, and we are living the dream here at the center of the universe, Miami, Florida, home to the Super Bowl. Welcome in the Gloss. How are you?
This is the 11 Super Bowls have been here in Miami Beach. I think they really like the Miami set here.
Well, it really is a great setting. I can recall that first Super Bowl that was in Miami. I believe it was the Joe Namath game. He guaranteed the win. And
Super Bowl three.
And the amazing thing is, you look back on it, this is a guy whose career record was a losing record. His stats were not great. He got pretty far on that one big win and one big guaranteed win. That was a big differentiator for him.
Right,
in his career.
Guaranteed it like in an interview, right?
He did.
In his swimsuit on the beach, I think it was.
You noticed the swimsuit,
yeah.
Did you? He did not use his Manscaped product.
Broadway Joe.
He was unmanscaped that day. A lot of hair flowing around. He looked great, and he was Broadway Joe down in Miami. Miami has a great history. It was fun. We went through all these Super Bowls that have taken place in Miami. You've now been to a lot of Radio Rows over the last 5-6 years. Among the cities, I do put Miami near the top.
Oh, I do too.
I thought Houston showed exceptionally well a few years back. You know, the weather was spectacular that week.
And which doesn't
everything
always
was
happen
all
in
the same location. Houston deserves a lot of credit for the Super Bowl they did. Then there was that one Super Bowl that nobody wanted to attend. Who wants to go to Minnesota in February? I mean, that was a disastrous week, but we didn't make that trip.
Yeah, imagine that.
We were too smart for that. All right, next segment, we're going to get a chance to visit with Jay Glazer. He is with Fox Sports, and he knows all things NFL, and we can ask him. I want to ask him about all these big-name quarterbacks who are hitting the free agent market. It's an unprecedented group.
It is a crazy list.
From Brady to Breeze to Prescott to Rivers.
Old guys, too, I got to say.
Really an intriguing time. We will ask Jay Glazer when we come back here on SB Nation Radio.
In the building.
You're listening to an O'Reilly Auto Parts Roadshow on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from Radio Row in Miami, this is the Boss and the Gloss. Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Well, a little note to Ron Culver back there in studio in Houston, Texas. You should know that your music selection had Carla bouncing and dancing on the tables
again,
here at Radio Row. She's turning everyone's heads.
That's the plan. Have I gotten her on the table yet?
Not quite on the table. Well, she was just standing on the chair.
It's coming.
Her moment will come. Yeah,
no, first hour.
You're getting it going. Now, what everyone has been asking around the country, of course, is what you will have to eat during the Super Bowl. You know, what the fixings would be, the servings. What kind of food do you gather?
It's pretty unconventional.
Really?
I do this famous cheese souffle, which
cheese souffle.
You know about.
Yes.
I've made it for
your
wife before.
So good.
Which I love. And that's kind of all I need with my bubble tea. The milk tea with the boba balls in it. That's my favorite.
Really?
And that it doesn't do well with the stomach, though. That combo is not great.
Well, I eat all of your souffle with a couple sausage dogs and a few beers, and then all of a sudden I'm in a place where it's not a good thing. But I do have a solution for that.
Scream for?
Well, you go get some Nauzene.
Nauzene.
Nauzene. Because nearly everyone has done it. They've overindulged on good food and drink. And then you don't feel it good anymore. So overstuffing your stomach is an uncomfortable feeling. And this Sunday, During the big game, you can play it smart. You ought to get some Nauzene. Have it there right with you as you eat. Have your Nauzene next to you because Nauzene's four-minute formula quickly relieves all the stomach discomfort due to it's a great buffered formula that'll calm everything down.
And no aftertaste. That's key for me.
No aftertaste, no chalky medicinal flavor. It's Nauzene. Go get Nauzene.
One or two timeouts and you're better.
All right, Nauzene, that's the answer. Now here's another answer. The great Jay Glazer is joining us. He's from Fox Sports. And we're going to talk a little football. We're going to talk a little UFC,
fitness.
All kinds of things going.
Jay, good to
How are you, Jay?
You.
How are you doing?
Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
You're on with David and Carla.
What's
great
going
to
on,
have
David
you.
And Carla?
Well, I want to be buff like you.
Oh,
well, secret,
now
Jay.
See, here you go. I'm here pushing my new GNC. Well, I'm a spokesman now for GNC, and then also we have Big Show. Big Show, what's going on, big boy? Hold on.
You got
Let
it.
Let me see over here. What's going on, brother? How are you, buddy?
A lot of activity going
doing good?
On here. These are big men. They're both on GNC, I think.
Yeah. I'm working.
Are you working?
I am working right now. Right now. This is WWE Big Show right here.
I think this might be the only guy that makes Jay Glazer look.
We've been taken over. We're surrounded.
That's exactly right. He's DeVito of the two of us. I'm Schwarzenegger. Love you, buddy.
Who was that masked man?
It's WWE Big Show. The Big Show for the WWE.
Oh, he's the Special Olympics, the face of the Special Olympics, right?
He is a big ambassador.
He's a monster.
As he likes
of a
to
man.
Say, he's a quarter ton of fun.
Wow.
He is 500 pounds.
Tell me how I can get those kind of bikes?
You gotta get in a cage with people way bigger than you and train like crazy and get your butt kicked. And I just partnered with GNC to be a spokesman for them. And look, you guys... I used to fight way back in the day, and then Fox luckily made me stop because I'm a lousy fighter, and I just get
You're
my face busted
analyst,
too much.
Smart
I'm a good analyst and a good coach, so I learned how to start doing something else. I learned how to start coaching because I couldn't stop it. And I've coached about 1,200 NFL players in mixed martial arts and different fighters, basketball, hockey, baseball, everything. This fighter mentality, so it was really great for me to get involved with GNC. I have a gym called Unbreakable Performance, which was named the number one gym in the world by Men's Health UK,
wow.
And the most elite gym in America by Yahoo Health. I don't know how I did it, but whatever. And it's just basically kind of like my it's a Soho House of training, but I like to say we're the island of misfit toys. Like everybody in there, we're screwed up, but we're screwed up together. We're good with our screwed upness. And so GNC is going to have a new Unbreakable line of protein and supplements that comes out in April, but the biggest part is out of Unbreakable and four other gyms in the country right now also have a charity called MVP, Merging Vets and Players, where I take former combat vets and I merge them together with former NFL players.
Oh, wow.
And former other professional athletes to help them through the transition, because the transition sucks.
Yeah.
And just to try to give these guys a team again, a tribe again, and remind them of that their greatness wasn't the uniform, but their greatness lies behind the uniform. So a portion of the proceeds here go to helping our vets and MVP. It'll be 8,000 stores worldwide. We have it's the greatest thing I do. I mean, we're doing the game this weekend at Fox, and it's great and it's awesome. And I thank my best friend God Almighty every second of every day. Like, man, how did I get here? But the stuff we're doing with the vets is we have a couple thousand members, and about 80% of our members try to commit suicide before they met us.
Oh, my
And
gosh.
Since meeting us and getting into our program, our number is zero. There are 22 vets a day that kill themselves. Our number is zero.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, give me a fist.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
That's unreal.
We remind them, of their greatness, of their strength, to be proud of their scars. They're great not to have individuality in the military and then come back over here and they don't know how to sell themselves and they lose their tribe, they lose their team. Once we give them a team again, we can remind them of their magic behind the ribcage and we start getting them beholden to people again. And once you have that, you got a team who's kind of walking this walk with you, there's no reason for you not to be on this planet.
Jay, I love that marriage between professional athletes and our servicemen.
Yeah.
They are people in uniform.
They look
people
up to each
that
other,
count
right.
on their people surrounding
exactly.
them. They're in the trenches together. And to take something, I mean, you're so right. This game is exciting. It's an American pastime.
Yeah.
But let's talk about the people who have protected our America and what they're dealing with and transitioning. I love what you're doing.
It was so
fantastic.
Simple. It was brilliant. I'm like, why is this not like, and look, for me, again, the reason why I opened Unbreakable is I need a fight team. And I have severe depression, anxiety, always have. Now it's kind of cool to talk about, but I've always been open about it. I've had no problem with that. And I've always said I'm screwed up, but I'm good with my screwed upness, even though that's not the word I use. In a cage, getting beat up by Chuck Liddell and Randy Couture, I feel comfortable. I feel fine. Everything's good for me. On TV, I'm okay. Otherwise, the world's a scary place for me, which is weird, right?
I know, because like, you're so gregarious.
Yes,
your energy is
but
incredible.
That's to overcompensate for my depression and anxiety. So I always have to build these communities. So Unbreakable for me is a community that allows me to not have to be so over the top, so I don't have to, you know, overcompensate for my depression. And but having this team now of vets and players, a couple thousand strong, that I'm walking this walk with, it's been it's the first time in my life I haven't lived in the gray. You know, it's really been I'm getting choked up talking about it here. Yeah,
of course you should,
but it's the first time in my life I haven't lived in the gray. And yeah, it's like I said, there's been every single week we have someone in there who talks about them feeling like they're different and they don't fit in. I'm like, you're damn right you're different. You saved American POWs. You got blown up at a roadside bomb. You saved one of your party. You did you're damn right. Let's start bragging about this. Brag about what you've done in the past. Not just, I was in the Army. You're not just in the Army. You saved someone's life.
Talk
Are you
about
kidding
what
me?
You had to face.
Yes. When we do stuff on TV, we brag about, hey, I had this big scoop. I had Spygate. I'm going to brag about it. This is what you guys have done. Brag about it. And so I'm trying to make it okay for them to brag about their scars and be proud of their service, because that's our only choice. So it's magical. We'll get, like, in Unbreakable, there'll be 80, 90 of us vets and players together. And, you know, we train again for a half hour to give your burn again and just kind of get beholden to your brother or sister on your right or your left. But they are so vulnerable and open. And one second they're talking about somebody having a revolver in their mouth on Tuesday, and the next second we're laughing. There's no other group where you could do this with. And they're so incredibly intelligent and philosophical and smart. And if the rest of the world was like that huddle we have, we wouldn't be fighting so much.
So, amen.
Yeah, it's I'm proud. Like I said, 22 of these guys a day kill themselves. Not okay. I will work my ass off for the rest of my life to make sure that number gets to zero. Whether I get it there or not, that's my job.
Well, you know what you've done, Jay? You've been real with them.
Yeah.
And you've been real with your own struggles. We all have them. Yep. Anyone who tells you they don't is lying. Yep. And when you have that kind of openness, that's when you can get that kind
of
openness.
No one's questioning my manhood. I can be vulnerable. Right. You know what I mean? That's fine. That's what I try to convince them also.
I see those biceps. I'm not questioning anything from
good.
You, Jay.
I have no problem to that. I'll cry right here. I don't care. Yeah, don't threaten me watching The Notebook. I'm getting on.
Right.
Well, that's Jay Glazer, Fox Sports, and you really are the right guy doing the right work right now.
I appreciate it. So that website is vetsandplayers.org.
Veteranplayers.org.
Vetsandplayers.org. The charity's MVP, Merging Vets and Players. We're about to open our fifth city. Roger Goodell himself came to a session, and we have two guys in our group, one guy named Sergio and a guy named Denver Morris. They have a group called the 2-7. The 2-7 just had their 45th suicide. One unit. So Roger Goodell comes 45th in one unit. Can you imagine that? One team. So they've lost 72 to suicide in battle. Oh. And I'm standing there, and Roger Goodell's standing right next to me. And I said, listen, as much as this sucks, as hard as this is, think of how strong you have to be to withstand the loss of 72 of your brothers. Like, think about this. I couldn't do it. I said, Roger, could you do it? And Commissioner Goodell's sitting there, his lip quivering, and he starts, and I said, you want to say something? He goes, I'm not worthy of talking to them. I said, yes, you are. And Roger Goodell has since turned around and given us $250,000 to open up in New York City. He's like, we need this here. Himself personally.
Not the NFL.
Personally. Wow. And then last year at the playoff game, like, he's bonded with these vets. The Rams-Cowboys playoff game, he hits me up. He says, I heard your vets are here. I said, yeah. He said, I want to go watch with them. And he went up into the stands. Andrew Whitworth gave us like 50 tickets. He went up into the stands and watched for about an hour, hour and a half with our MVP vets. And he's like, I feel comfortable around these guys. This is the commissioner of the NFL. So, yeah, together, man.
You're making it real. It's really important.
I don't know if we're going to save the world, but we're damn sure trying to improve it.
Well, you already are.
I appreciate it.
That's so great, Jay.
Fantastic stuff.
Thank you.
Jay, thank you so much for
appreciate
joining us and sharing your story.
Wish you the best of luck and
thank
congratulations
you so much.
On your story. Keep on going.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate
it. Amazing.
All right, take care.
Thanks for joining us.
This is an O'Reilly Auto Parts Roadshow on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from Radio Row in Miami, this is the Boss and the Gloss. Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Here's David Gow and Carla Dawson.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. All right, it is an interesting window. We're going to get a chance to visit with Carson Palmer in just a minute. Former USC quarterback, former NFL
Raider quarterback.
Quarterback
at all my favorite teams.
Oh, that's
teams,
right.
Kate.
You've got your Raiders, too. He had his little stint there. And he played for Bruce Arians.
In Arizona,
who, of course, is now the head coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. It'll be fun to ask him what he thinks about the fate of Jameis Winston, because the Buccaneers have a big quarterback decision.
Yeah, they do.
A lot of teams have big quarterback decisions. I mean, we are talking about an offseason where there are some really big-time names who are hitting the free agent market. Now, some of them may never really dance with other parties.
But none bigger than Brady and Breeze.
Brady and Breeze. And so when I think about Drew Brees, I think he will go back to the Saints. And he's all but said, look, if I play again, if I play another year, I'm going to stay in New Orleans. But he's a free agent. Actually, all three of those quarterbacks on the Saints are free agents. And Teddy Bridgewater probably has a big payday coming with the great year that he had filling in for Drew Brees.
Yeah, I think he really does. You know, he had 5 starts with New Orleans and filling in for Drew Brees, 5 wins. You know, he's accurate. He's got a big payday coming up. I really think he does.
Just the number of teams that need quarterbacks. So, because, oh, look, let's put Bridgewater. Brees is probably staying in New Orleans. Bridgewater's out there. I guess Tom Brady is really a free agent. I think he's going back to New England. Phillip Rivers is a free agent. So these are pretty good. I mean, Dak Prescott, I think, will land back with the Cowboys. So there are guys who are technically free agents who are really not out there. But the teams with needs who would go out and sign a Teddy Bridgewater, who really have a wide-open opportunity for him, I guess I have to include San Diego on that list,
sure.
Tampa Bay Buccaneers on that list. I think Jacksonville has wedded itself to Minshew plus Foles. I mean,
right.
They've got those two guys.
Foles. Yeah, sure.
And when we look at Tennessee, I think they're now committed to Ryan Tannehill.
I think they are. And I think Mariota, you know, who was benched after 6 games.
He's,
you know,
going to hit the
market.
God
bless him. He's had 5 different head coaches.
Right.
He needs to hit the market with a fresh start.
Right.
And I think he can be a starting quarterback somewhere. It's not going to be in Tennessee. But they're going to have a decision to make because they're going to need to pay Ryan Tannehill after that season. He went 7-3 in his 10 games.
Yep.
You know, a great postseason, his first postseason win, and it was against the Patriots in New England.
Right.
Oh, my goodness. He's going to the bank.
But so I envision Tannehill going back there, Mariota probably taking a job as a backup somewhere in the league and regrouping on his career. The Broncos at least are saying that they're wedded to Drew Lock, that what they've seen in him is enough.
They seem
and healthy. They believe that he is a guy who actually can be their franchise quarterback. What a find and what a gift that would be to Denver, in fact, if that's true. Of course, they drafted him in the 2nd round, and to have him in the fold would really round out that team. I guess in my head, the jury's still out on Drew Lock. I'm not at all convinced that we can count on Drew Lock as the future of the Denver Broncos.
Right. Are you sure that you can count on John Elway to get the right quarterback in there? It hasn't been a
good
record.
He has had a lot of big swings and misses, none bigger than Paxton Lynch in the 1st round. And Case Keenum, and, well, you could go on down the list.
Right.
But we will see. He's a guy, Drew Lock, who I guess they feel good about him. But, you know, Detroit might even look at a new quarterback. Matt Stafford's been there a long time. He's played some good games but never really gotten them over the hurdle. Certainly the Dolphins. I should have cited them right at the beginning. The Dolphins are going to pick up a quarterback.
Well, that'll probably be in the draft, don't you think?
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, I guess right now you got Joe Burrow going to the Bengals. And then perhaps Tua falling to the Dolphins at 5, and that would be a really nice fit. Dolphins, who were going to tank for Tua, didn't tank, but they still pick him up at 5. So I'm taking those two teams. They get their quarterback solution in the draft, and then these other teams are going to go and look at the Teddy Bridgewaters and the Phillip Rivers and others and find a home for a Marcus Mariota.
Right, right, exactly. And then you've got, you know, it's an interesting quandary in Tampa Bay with Jameis Winston, because on the one hand, you've got a guy who led the league in passing yards with over 5,100 yards.
Yep.
And then you have the guy who was the first 30-30 in the NFL. Mm. 30 touchdowns, 30 interceptions.
Right.
I mean, that is the tale of two harrowing statistics.
Yeah, yeah. And Bruce Arians was the guy who supposedly was going to be able to fix that and clearly couldn't tame the beast, right? He couldn't get Winston to play within the context of the game, couldn't get him to play within his own abilities. There was still the scatter shooting and all those problems with turnovers. And since Arians didn't get it done this year with him, I think Arians is ready to move on. The language, the posturing that's come out of Tampa Bay, the words Arians is, I mean, he says things like, well, if we could win with that quarterback, we can win with another quarterback. And that certainly implies that he's ready to find another solution. And there will be other guys out there. Frankly,
I like Teddy Bridgewater.
Teddy Bridgewater for Tampa Bay and Bruce Arians, that's really a pretty strong fit.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to see that.
Yeah, we'll see how that one unfolds.
And then it would be interesting to see where, if Winston does not come back to Tampa Bay, where will he end up?
Well, see, then you've got these teams that have needs for good backups or guys you could plug in and play three games. And Winston coming in as a backup for 3 to 4 games wouldn't be a disaster for somebody because he'll probably win you half the games because the good Jameis will show up for two and the bad Jameis for two.
Right.
And if you go 2-2 with a backup quarterback while you're biding your time for your start of the return, that's a respectable outcome.
You got to work hard, though, to get 30 interceptions in a season.
He was working hard, just with not very good outcomes.
Wow. I think it might be hard for me to do that. I don't know.
Well, two teams that don't seem to have a quarterback problem, Patrick Mahomes and Jimmy Garoppolo, really have been productive this year, but in different ways. Garoppolo right now stands out to me as a classic game manager. Mahomes, of course, a game winner. It's the old, you can win with a guy or can you win because of the guy. Mahomes, a guy, I think you can win because of Patrick Mahomes, you win. And then really with Jimmy G, he's a guy that you can win with. He hasn't really demonstrated that he's going to ever carry that team. Maybe he will someday, but right now he is a very good game manager. He's executing Kyle Shanahan's offense pretty flawlessly. He doesn't make a lot of mistakes. Right now, he's a great game manager for a San Francisco team that can rely on a game manager.
Listen to this craziness. Jimmy G has the highest winning percentage among quarterbacks that have at least 25 starts, including the postseason. He's at an 82% winning percentage. The highest among NFL quarterback.
Well, he was.
How about that?
Remember, he was Jimmy Never Lose when he first came out. He won something like his first 7 or 8 games. But he's had a great cast around him.
Yes, he does.
When the 49ers were so weak last year, they didn't have Jimmy G, and they just sort of unraveled quickly. And as it turned out, it was good fortune, right? It enabled them to draft Bosa, number 2 overall. What a gift to add Bosa to an already stocked defense. Was the one good that came out of the bad of the ACL tear of Jimmy G.
Well, what's interesting that you said, which it is important, that Jimmy G has a great cast around him. So does Patrick Mahomes. So did Brady up until this year. You know, he had injuries on that O-line, you know, in and out with his receivers, you know, same with running backs. And he, look what happened. I mean, a quarterback seems to be as good as the weapons around him, honestly.
Right.
Not in the case with Aaron Rodgers, because he doesn't have that many weapons around him, and he's fantastic. But, you know, it's really key. I think that was really why Brady's stats don't look as Brady-esque as we're used to this year and why he's not here for the postseason.
Yeah, it's easy to say, well, Brady must be older. He's not performing at the same level. But if he had had all
That's
the same
a part
pieces,
of it, but right.
if he had all the same pieces, I think he would have been very, very productive.
It's no just, Rob Gronkowski.
The problem is he's at a place. Yeah, they had no tight end.
Revolving door, wide receiver with Antonio Brown, Ben Watson. Who's our kid out of Texas?
Ben Edelman was injured most of the year.
Why am I not thinking the Cleveland Brown gets in the drug? He was Josh Gordon. Thank you. Jeez,
oh,
having a senior
Josh
moment.
Let him walk.
Yeah, that didn't last. So, yeah, part of that with Brady is the lack of weapons around him for sure.
All right, when we come back, we're going to get a chance to visit with Dr. Jen Welter. She was one of the first, she was the first female coach in the NFL. Jen Welter, when we return here on SB Nation Radio.
You're listening to an O'Reilly Auto Parts Roadshow on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from Radio Row in Miami, this is The Boss and the Gloss. Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Welcome back. And we are really privileged right now. We have Dr. Jen Welter joining us here. She is, well, the first female coach hired by an NFL team back with the Cardinals, and you're an old friend of the show's. It's great to have you back.
Oh, my gosh. Anytime I can join the boss and the gloss, I love it.
You I'm glad you look at me when you say boss and gloss with her.
I mean, you know,
you got the names right.
You know, I did. All right. I mean, she's got the, she has the hottie pants on. And I love that you guys brought it into a little Justin Timberlake because it reminds me of something I said about the 49ers the other day. I'm like, hey, JT brought sexy back. But the 49ers have brought the fullback back, and
I am
rocking with the fullback.
And you are a fullback.
You made the fullback and tight end sexy. Way to go, San Fran. So there you go.
Yep, that's another one of you first. You were the first female running back in the Men's Football League,
yes,
the Texas Alliance,
yes,
in Dallas.
In Dallas, yeah, long football history. And that was actually, I tell people, you know, I broke into men's professional football in the most painful way possible by actually getting, you know, playing. And getting tackled by them on a day-to-day basis. So I earned my stripes there.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did. Tell us what you're doing now. You never let grass grow under your feet. I want to hear about all your stuff.
You know, I don't. And I lovingly say that I think it's the vantage point of a 5'2" female who was told everything she couldn't do. I'm always looking at ways that we can, you know, re-examine the game, re-examine the narrative, and create positive change. And one of the things I've really become obsessed with, I guess you could say, is like the socialization of girls in football and sport and the importance of visibility. You know, I started 2 years ago, I started doing flag football camps for girls because no one was teaching the girls. And we've now done over 32 girls football camps across the country. When I started, nobody would back them. Nobody believed it would work. I actually self-funded them. That led to eventually partnering with Adidas. So I became the first female signed to a major brand as like a football asset. Then Adidas sponsors some of my camps every year. That's part of the deal. So we just finished a fall tour where we did 7 camps all across the country in just 4 months. So it was a little bit crazy. But one of the things that came out of doing those girls' football camps was I got approached by a company called Toya in Israel. And they are a Minecraft development company. And they're all female. And I said, you know, almost half, I think it was 44% then. I think it's up to 48% now. You know, between 48 and 44%, we'll say, of gamers are girls. And yet there are very few female protagonists. We love Coach Jen and the football camps. Could we do Minecraft worlds around them? Hmm. So they developed a series of 3 Minecraft worlds. And that got me into the video game space and really opened my eyes to the potential for esports to kind of lead in the reality that we want to see that might be there before the actual reality that we live in, right? And the importance of both girls and boys being able to play a game with females in football, because then it normalizes seeing it in real life.
Yep.
And from that, I ended up going and consulting with Madden. And then they put me in. I'm kind of like the Where is Waldo in this Madden 20. Mm-hmm. I'm both in the story mode as a reporter. So I got a little bit of you.
Yes.
So I'm the reporter in Madden, the story mode. And then I met everybody and we were talking about how, you know, we could get more girls into Madden. I'm like, well, they need to see themselves in an actual game capacity in the game so that they feel like they're there. So a lot of the movers and shakers inside Madden were really excited that I was in there as a reporter, but they were kind of mad that I wasn't in there as myself. And then they ended up having me in Superstar KO mode as the first female head coach in Madden history. So for the first time in Madden, you can actually go in and choose a female coach, Superstar KO, my team is team shutdown. We have the best rated
defense. And it will
defense.
Be you, your face.
And
I
it's
can
me,
pick
my
Jen
face.
Welter.
You can pick Jen Welter.
Wow.
And that means, number one, girls could see that they could have a role there. And number two,
really
boys
cool.
could also have a female coach. So if you then go and see one in real life, it's not rare. And so a lot of the things I look at now are where can we move the needle in terms of society and how we see football, because it's traditionally been called the final frontier for women in sports. And I always believed if we could change football, we could change the world. And so that's a lot of where I've been investing my time, both getting the girls physically on the field and giving them different ways to see women actually having in-game capacities and to just really teach them there's no game they cannot play and no field they do not belong in or on, and getting creative, hopefully, to do that.
Well, Jen, I love the whole visibility thing that you're getting through the gaming. So we've got Katie Sowers, who's taking the field this weekend as an offensive assistant coach for San Francisco. Talk about that. Talk about what that is doing for your cause and what that's doing for young women everywhere to see her. She is in the Super Bowl.
I know. And, you know, the first point I want to bring up about that is, you know, a lot of people ask me about Katie in theory of being a female coach. But the more important aspect that to me is that she was my Team USA teammate. You know,
I was
going to
ask
together.
You about that because she was in the Texas Alliance as well. Yeah.
Well, yeah. So we played against each other many a year when I played for Dallas and she played for Kansas City, two of the best franchises in women's football. And actually, little known fact also, if you didn't know, Katie has a twin. So it used to be the Sowers sisters that we would have to prepare for. And,
oh, darn.
It was not just one. It was double trouble. And me being on defense, it was, you know, I've tackled both of them. I probably wouldn't have told you which one it was at which time.
Right.
And they have both caught passes over me that broke my heart. Two of the best in the game. And so we had a long time rivalry. And then we got to be teammates for Team USA in 2013.
Oh, wow.
And then, you know, so we won gold medals together. And knowing that a friend of mine and a teammate and somebody who has sacrificed in the trenches with me the same way we all did is getting ready to play a Super Bowl, it's like Eric coaching a Super Bowl.
Stage doesn't get bigger.
It doesn't. And it's so wonderful to see. And it's just, it's awesome to know that, you know, a door that I opened, right, she then went in on her own merit, skill, and talent and has crushed it. Because I had somebody ask me the other day, they're like, do you feel like you're responsible? I'm like, no, I don't. I feel like I opened the door and
sure
someone
did.
Had to be first, right?
Right?
And my goal being the first was to make sure that I wasn't the last,
mm-hmm.
right? I'm the first one in. I cannot mess it up so badly that they close that door so tight that no one else gets in there. But the NFL has done a great job in intentionally developing a pipeline for women in coaching. They hired longtime women's football advocate Sam Rappaport to really lead that charge. And Katie has now gotten her opportunity to start because of that. But what she's done from there really speaks to the heck of a human and coach and football person that she is,
regardless of gender.
That's
she's
right.
Just, yeah.
That's right.
She's
you know,
just great at her craft.
Yeah.
Period.
And I remember one of the things that, you know, Bruce Arians said in a press conference, I think it was, or in an interview when I was in Arizona, when he was asked about it, he was like, you know, the novelty of her being a female coach wore off after about 3 days, and then it was just coach. Mm-hmm. Right. And yes, you might approach things in a slightly different way. Guys might be able to talk to me about different things, you know, and that comes with any dimension of society.
Sure.
But it's not like, oh, she's all right for a female. Right. Like, no, this is a coach who is also a female.
Well, Jen, you on the other side of the ball this weekend. So you've got Katie Sowers, who, you know, and played with on the other side of the ball. Safety Tyrann Mathieu for Kansas City. You were very, very close with him, your time in Arizona with Bruce Arians there. And you and Tyrann had a lot of conversations. Talk about you walking him through to where he is today and you being able to project the success that he's had in Houston and now Kansas City.
You know, Ty was a special player. I could see it when I first was around him. I remember he was coming off an ACL surgery when mm-hmm. I got there. So they were more tapping into my opinion on him as a doctor than it was as a coach right away. And, you know, they was like, oh, you think he'll come off? And, like, you know, talking about him in theory, I'm like, I don't know. I haven't talked to him. Can I talk to him first? And I remember one of the very first conversations we had. It had a lot to do with a tattoo on his hand that was a mask. And I was like, tell me about the tattoo. And he was like, you know, we all wear masks. And I was like, okay. So was, you know, when did you get it? He's like, it was my first one. And I was like, okay, so you often feel misunderstood. And he was like, yeah. Hmm. And I said, people kind of have a way that they see you. And we talked about some other stuff. And then I talked to the injury and how oftentimes, you know, the psychological impact of an athlete and a career threatening or any injury is actually the death of a close family member. It is one of the hardest things that you can go through. And then what makes it even harder is it's your life. It's your social circle. It's your friend. It's your income.
It's your identity.
Everything, right? And then you go to talk to somebody who doesn't have that same weight on it. And a lot of the times, you know, as an athlete who's been taught never to admit fear and weakness, then you go tell somebody about it that you're struggling who isn't an athlete. And they're like, oh, it's just a knee. And so then you feel misunderstood and you shut down. And so we kind of bonded on it, and I remember I called him out on a couple stuff, and he just looked at me, and he's like, Coach, ain't nobody know that about me. And I was like, I'm really good at what I do. And he kind of looked at me, and he smiled and gave me a fist bump. And from that moment on, we were just very in sync, right? And he wasn't one of my direct players, but I loved and related to the way that he played. He is magic on the field. The way
Inspiring,
he reads.
I love it.
He is a player that brings up everyone else around him. Like, he is magic on the football field, and he will change the dynamic of any team that he's in. He can intercept the football. You know, he's a ball hawk. He is a tape junkie. He can intercept the football on one play. He can sack the quarterback on the next, and he can lock down your slot receiver in man coverage. And he just is that guy. So I hope Garoppolo is forced to throw the ball because he's going to have trouble dealing with Ty.
Yeah, he will.
We've been talking to Dr. Jen Welter. Jen, thanks so much for joining. She was talking about Tyrann Mathieu, the Honey Badger.
The Honey Badger.
And his, well, he's going to be a force on Sunday.
Yeah, I'm sad the Texans let him go.
Yeah, former Texan, now Kansas City Chief.
Just a year.
Jen, thank you so much for joining. It's really great to catch up with you.
Hey. Always great to hear what you're doing.
Anytime.
Keep on keeping on. I'm so impressed.
Anytime. Thank you guys so much for having me. I appreciate it.
You're listening to The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
This is an O'Reilly Auto Parts Roadshow on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from Radio Row in Miami, this is The Boss and the Gloss. Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Well, sometimes on Radio Row, the most intriguing thing is what happens off the air. Did I see Dr. Jen Welter tell you that you're wearing hottie pants or
yes,
sexy
she did.
Pants? Really?
I'm all about it. Woo!
She loves your pants. Well, congratulations.
Bringing some bling to the beach.
She wasn't talking about Jose's pants. It was your pants she was eyeing there.
Well, Jose got the cougar moment, you know, with the last
one. Oh, yeah, he had the cougar
Busy
with
Phillips,
Busy
so
Phillips.
You can't have them all, Jose. Sorry.
I can try.
And try he does. All right, well, we had some extraordinary guests. Mike Rizzo,
oh,
who, of course, the general manager of the Washington Nationals,
great
the world
day.
Champion Washington Nationals. Jay Glazer, Busy Phillip, Dr. Jen Welter. I have to ask you, who is your favorite today?
You can't make me do that.
That's why I'm asking. I knew it would be hard on you.
Yeah, it is hard on me. Because I want to say girl power. I'm all about Busy Phillip's message. I loved it and what she's doing. Same with Jen Welter and how she is really making football. She's normalizing it for women, trying hard. And believe me, she's a trailblazer there. But Jay Glazer, I got to give it. I mean, Mike Rizzo loved it, even
right.
though he took down our Astros.
Right.
I mean, got to appreciate what he's done. Jay Glazer gets my vote today.
Are you sure? What he's doing with Vex.
Are you guys sure it wasn't the Big Show for crashing the Jay Glazer interview?
Yeah.
It might have been the Big Show.
Oh, well, the
WWE
Big Show.
Superstar,
that was pretty amazing. I've never seen anyone of that size.
Well, we lost control of the show when that guy came in on
yeah,
set.
Yeah, we did. But what a story for Jay Glazer, combining, you know, vets in, you know, with athletes, former NFL athletes and former vets. Wow, that is a powerful message. And he's vulnerable about his own struggles. And look at the successes he's had in everything that he touches. It's really, really impressive. What a great ambassador. And he makes you want to say whatever's on your mind. he's a special guy.
Yeah, his success does span lots of domains,
doesn't
it?
It really does.
And now
MMA,
really
Fox, yes. Training NFL players, and now this, you know, comes.
And he's really making a mark in the lives of these individuals.
Yeah, really
Mike
impressive.
Rizzo was fun for me. It's so interesting to talk to a guy right at the top of his sport right now, and he really put together an extraordinary Nationals team. Obviously one of the great rotations we've seen in a long time.
He was in scouting for years, and I think that really helped him in the GM position really be able to put together that roster that he did.
Well, and they'll Young be good next too. Year. I mean, losing Rendon is a tough
Big
setback,
hit.
But he's building sort of a committee of guys who will fill that third base void. So I think the Nationals are going to be significant contenders. It's awfully hard to repeat in this day and age.
Yeah. No, it is. But I think he's got everything in place, and the way that he has extended Steven Strasburg's career has been really impressive.
Right.
And I love that he said it's the regular protocol, you know, to shut down someone after the Tommy John, yet it was met with a lot of, because of the timing, it was met with a lot of backlash, and it clearly was the right thing.
Regular protocol for him and the Nationals.
Right, right.
But what's regular? Because there's always a lot of pressure, and there's always a culture in sports to get back on the field and play very, very quickly.
Sure.
But they transcended that bias.
And look at the result.
Yep, tremendous.
Strasburg is the World Series MVP.
All right, a great day one here on Radio Row.
And
we will be back tomorrow. So much going on.
Jose,
great lineup of guests.
Care of us.
Jose, Ron Colbert, back.
A pleasure.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Ron.
Boston Gloss, Espionation Radio.